Welcome to our course of studies in the basic doctrines of the Christian faith. At this point, we're thinking about the nature and attributes of God. And in particular, in this study, we're going to take some time to think about the fact that God is holy. Let's begin with a definition. God's holiness means that he is separated from sin and devoted to seeking his own honor. God's holiness means that he is separated from sin and devoted to seeking his own honor. So we start with this statement that God is holy. There are many things that one could say about God, but perhaps this is the biggest and the most significant of all of the things that we could say. As we shall see, in some senses, many of his other attributes flow out of this one. Certainly this attribute is the focus of the worship that is given to God in heaven. And if that's the eternal theme of the angelic beings and the heavenly host, then surely there is reason there for us to think that this is perhaps the most important thing that we could say about God. A couple of scriptures would make that point. In Psalm 99, verse 9, we're exhorted to exalt the Lord our God and to worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. When Isaiah had his wonderful vision on the occasion where he was commissioned to his ministry as a prophet in Isaiah chapter 6, he had this amazing revelation of all that was going on in the heavenly realm. And what he saw and what he heard was summed up in the cry of the seraphim and all of the other heavenly beings crying to one another constantly, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And when a word is repeated three times like that, in the Hebrew language, it has a little bit more significance than simply repetition. It would be the equivalent of saying holy, holier, holiest. There's a growth of meaning as the idea is developed. When the word is repeated a second time, it's not merely a repetition, but it's building on the word. It's enlarging the word to the climax of God being the holiest of holiest. So that's what heaven and earth are proclaiming. It's the thing that we are to do here on earth. We are to declare his holiness. It's that which is being declared eternally in the heavens. There are many names that are given to the Lord in Scripture, but in one of those names would be the Holy One of Israel. Psalm 71, verse 22, Psalm 78, verse 41 would be a couple of references in the Psalms that make that point. Isaiah himself, earlier in his book, in chapter 1, verse 4, speaks about God as the Holy One of Israel. And in chapter 5, similarly, that name is used of him in verses 19 and 24. So God is the Holy One, and in particular the Holy One of Israel. Let's take a few moments to think about the meaning of the word holiness. The word holy, perhaps we could think of as having two somewhat distinct meanings. When we use the word holiness, normally we are thinking probably of moral purity, but that's not the root meaning of the word. The primary meaning of the word holiness means apartness or otherness, separation from, distinct from. So when we say that God is holy, as well as referring to his moral purity, at essence we're referring to the fact that there is a profound difference or a separation between him and all creatures. It is because he is utterly different and absolutely superior that he is worthy of honor and worship. And that's why this is the theme of the angels' worship. We talked earlier about the fact that God is self-existent, and in that we notice that he's totally different from other creatures in the sense that we are dependent on others for our existence. We're dependent on the influences of others as we become the people that we become. That's also an expression, actually, of God's holiness, because God is independent. He is separate from all influences, unaffected by any other influences. God's holiness speaks of the fact that he is totally other, totally distinct, totally separate. But following on from that, the idea of God's moral righteousness is clearly the secondary meaning of holiness. Not simply is he separate from all of creation in the sense that he is a distinct being, but he is separate from all sin and all evil and all corruption in particular. That's why we use the word holy in the moral sense, because certainly that's part of the meaning. He is totally distinct from, uncontaminated by, separated from anything that would have to do with sin and evil. So as we use this word separate as our root meaning for holiness, we find that God is separate from. The idea of holiness speaks of a separation from sin and evil and any such thing. That idea comes down to us. When God instructed Israel to build the tabernacle, his requirement was that it would be a holy place. And one of the ways that we see that it is a holy place is in the very blueprints for its construction. It was constructed with clear boundaries. There was an outer courtyard with a barrier separating all that was inside the courtyard from that which was outside. Once one came into the courtyard, one was coming away from, separating from the outside world, as it were. And after a series of processes and rituals, one came to the building which was the tabernacle itself, a tent, but a construction with walls and with a roof. And so again, one is entering into a place, and in coming into that place, one is separating from, twice removed now from the outside world. We pass from the outside world to the courtyard, from the courtyard into the tabernacle, and still there remains a third barrier there, which separates us from the most holy place. And as we read in the book of Exodus, the priest or the high priest was only able to go in there very rarely, and other people were banned from access there. It was known as the most holy place. And even in that kind of arrangement, we have another expression of that holy, holy, holy idea. To come from the world, one moves into the holy area of the courtyard, and into the holier area of the tabernacle, and into the holiest, the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. But in all of that, the idea was that God's presence was a place that was utterly separate from the world. And when God called Israel to be a holy nation in Exodus chapter 19 verses 4 to 6, this was seen in the context of bringing them out of Egypt, and the Red Sea became again a boundary, a marker of a complete separation from the world that they had known. To be a holy people is to come out and be separate. So in this sense, God's holiness refers to God's isolation from all contamination, from that which is evil, the distinctiveness of his nature and his actions, in that they are altogether pure and righteous. And that flows out of his external righteousness. He always acts in a righteous manner, but that's because of his internal righteousness. His nature is pure and holy, totally distinct from the contamination in the world with which we are all too familiar. But when we speak about the word holiness, we mustn't see it as simply a negative word, as if it were only to refer to separation from. Holiness also has a positive meaning. If it only referred to separateness from, it would be essentially a negative idea, the absence of evil. But the positive side is that which is holy is both separated from something and it's separated to something. So this tabernacle that we've been talking about in Israel's history was a holy place because it was separated from the world around, but also it was dedicated and consecrated to God's service. It was set apart for Him. It wasn't merely an absence of worldliness there, if I can put it that way. It was the positive presence of godliness that was there. It was consecrated to God's service. And just as that would be the case with that tabernacle of old, the same applies to holy people. We're called to be holy. In fact, we're called to be holy as God is holy and because God is holy. It's a scripture that's repeated in the Old and the New Testaments. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, we're called to be a holy people. And it's important for us to understand that holy people are not only people who refrain from sin, that's to be separate from the world and all of its influences, but also it's people who are actively devoted to God's service in a positive way. So what is God devoted to? If He's separate from the world, what is He separated to? Well, He's set apart to pursue the highest imaginable goal and purpose. And that goal and purpose is His own honor and His own glory. For any human being to think about being separated unto His own honor and His own glory would clearly be a mark of huge pride and egotism. Of course, with God, that's not the case. As John Piper points out as he pursues this theme in so many of his writings, he's absolutely clear, helps us to see, and we recommend his books in this regard. John Piper is clear that if God were preoccupied with anything other than Himself, it actually would be idolatry, because He would be pouring His thoughts and His attention into something that was inferior. For Him to be devoted to anything other than Himself would be a travesty of justice. Because God is the greatest being beyond all of our comprehension and imagination, He has to be devoted to His own glory. How could He be devoted to anything less than that? He is set apart for the most glorious and the most wonderful purposes that could possibly be imaginable. And for us, our being taken up in His holiness sets us apart from the triviality of a world that is preoccupied with much lesser things and brings us into the realm where we become focused on that which is ultimate, that which is important, that which is everything, the God who is all in all. So as we conclude this brief introduction to the idea of the holiness of God, we break now into discussion groups, whether with the people that you're studying with or with your mentor or perhaps for private reflection. I want you to ask the question, why do the angels cry, "Holy, holy, holy"? I suspect if we were writing these things from the perspective of 21st century man, we would have had the angels crying, "Love, love, love." That to us seems to be the ultimate attribute. But why is it that holiness is the theme of the angels? Try and think that one through in contrast with the way that we think and consider some of the implications of that. And secondly, we see in that most holy place in Exodus 23 verse 33 that God was making sure that nothing sinful could contaminate that place of His presence. I want us to think about the implications of that historical, traditional, ceremonial practice amongst the Jews for our understanding of the fact that in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 4, we also are called to the highest possible standards of holiness. In fact, Hebrews chapter 12 verse 14, did I say verse 4? I meant verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness. Pursue holiness without which no one will see the Lord. There is no way to see the Lord other than in that holy of holies type of a place. What does that mean for us? What was God trying to communicate to us through the way that the Jews had to practice their religious observances, preparing them for the revelation that would become fuller in Christ in the New Testament.